Church. It is great to see everyone. I want to introduce, my name is Jeff Henderson, my wife Amanda, some of you saw up in front, my daughter Millicent. She just turned 1 year old just a few days ago. She's going back to kids. If she sees you, she'll probably try to jump into your arms and hug you. Just go with it. She's cute and amazing, but she probably will drool on you. And then my wife Amanda, actually, we have a picture of the family. There we go. That's us. That was our holiday, our Christmas holiday photos. That is not a fake mustache. That is real. And it is in the making. It's making a comeback. I need a couple of months. And then my wife is pregnant with our second, who's due in July. And I have another daughter, so pray for me. And so we will have two daughters, and Millicent, and then the one in July, her name is Juniper. So we'll have Millie and June. So that's us. And we get an incredible pleasure of leading that team that leads the campus ministry in San Antonio with the Tollivers, the Pachtas. Now many of you know Tom and Lori Ziegler. And many of you watched Nick grow up as well. Nick is actually on staff with us, just got married a few months ago, is a best friend and a partner. We have an incredible team, and God is really blessed. And this morning I want to talk about heaven, if that is okay. And if you've got a Bible, be making your way to Matthew chapter 22. We will start there this morning. And I have two points for us today. And before we get there, let's bow our heads together and pray as we get started. Let's pray together. Holy Father, it's right for us to come before you and to sing incredible songs in all the languages that are under heaven, that we should praise you. But we don't want to lift up, Father, just our voices. We want to lift our lives, our sacrifice, our devotion to you as well. Thank you, God, for the way that you've blessed us. We know that there are so many meeting this morning around the world that for fear of their lives cannot gather in public like this. They cannot gather and praise you at the top of their lungs with no shame and no fear. And we pray that you protect them, but also that you give us a spirit of boldness, and that freedom is not in vain, that we get a chance to live our lives with boldness and security and confidence, not just knowing that our lives here are blessed, but there is incredible life to come, and we are just getting started. We haven't even begun to scratch the scratch of what you have in store for us. Thank you, God, for your blessings, for your word, and our time today. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 22, we'll begin in verse 1. And it says, Jesus said to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And the brothers said, amen. This is not a party with appetizers and hors d'oeuvres. This is a banquet. And in America, most especially in Texas, we have Thanksgiving. It is an entire holiday based around eating. That's it. And you have banquet tables. You get the extra leaves in your table. You know, you extend your table. We get big birds. We get briskets. We get everything we can. And it's full. And if you're like me, does anyone like to just eat? Okay. Or am I alone? I am, as you can see, I'm not a long distance runner. I don't do those things. I power lift, that's my therapy, but I love to eat. And isn't there something that's so cultural and so personal? So it connects food, music, these things connect. Can you remember what your mother used to make? My mom, you know, would make a pineapple upside down cake. Or maybe it's fresh baked brownies. Do you guys have brownies here? Okay. I want to make sure I don't lose. I'm like, if not, come on in. It's one more step toward heaven. You fresh baked cookies, when that smell of like fresh baked bread, you're like, it gets to your soul. It's an amazing thing. And I think, man, this is what God is trying to get us. He's talking in these incredible parables to get us to look ahead and understand you can't get your head around what God is preparing. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, it says that no eye has seen, nor no ear has even heard what God is preparing for those who love him. And today what we're going to do is I want to take a look about, we're going to have two points today. First one is, we call them appetizers in the United States. I guess the starter course. They call them nibbles in England. It's kind of the starter. Isn't that right, James? Yeah. We sit and I was like, what is a nibble? It's the starter course. It's the little things you nibble on before the real food comes. And that's the first point. And the second point today is we're going to talk about the main course. But my hope today is twofold. One, it's to encourage you, but it's also to inspire you. And my question today, as we even get started, is whether you're here visiting for the very first time or you've been a disciple following Jesus for decades, my question is, what do you have your eyes on? Because it's amazing in our world, it's incredibly easy to get focused on the negative, and remember, we can easily find out what we're running from, right? I don't want to go back to my old life. I don't want sin. I don't want the broken family. I don't want the broken marriage. But my question isn't so much about what are you running from, but what are you running to? And I think that's what's so amazing about heaven, and so much time is spent in the scriptures to inspire us about where we are going. So turn on over to Romans chapter 1. Point number one is the starter course, or the appetizer. You gotta love that us as people, before we eat, we like to eat. Isn't that amazing? And they're usually really decadent. We do these things called jalapeno poppers. They're kind of spicy peppers. So because they're spicy, you stuff them with cream cheese because that balances it out. But then you're like, well, of course you got to wrap it in bacon. Yeah, everything's better with bacon. And so we put those on the grill, and you'll nibble on those as the brisket, as this 14 or 15 pound, maybe a 6 or 8 kilo, like, piece of meat comes off the grill that's been smoking for 14 hours. That's how we do it. And if you're like, Jeff, I am hungry, good. Because that's exactly what Jesus is trying to get at as we look ahead to heaven. Romans chapter 1. Are we all there? Fantastic. First point is the appetizer. Romans chapter 1. Many of us have read this verse before, but I think I want it to spark something different. And I think if you've been reading the Bible for years, my challenge is, even over the course of this next year, to try to read the verses with a fresh spirit, with eyes, kind of in many ways, approach it anew as best you can every time you read it, and see how God continues to inspire. The same words can inspire you for decades. And new things begin to come out. And in verse 20, in Romans chapter 1, this is Paul writing the church in Rome. He says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. How many of us have ever read this verse before? If we're familiar with this, and many times we read this and we go, yeah, God's creation, it's like an apologetic, it defends him. But no, there's so much more to this verse that blows me around. When you look around, you're in Cape Town. Have you gotten used to how beautiful it is? Man, isn't it easy how the shiny things can dull over time? Time doesn't make things more valuable. Devotion does. And I'll tell you what, we were flying in last night and the sun's going down behind the 12 apostles, and I look, and you know that just as the sun begins to go behind mountains and the sunset just starts and there's that fiery orange, there's no other orange in the world like that. That's my favorite color. But isn't it amazing how many iPhones you can see, or how many computers you can see, or how many nice cars, and all of that eventually, that luster fades, but God's creation never fades in its beauty. I keep smelling cookies. I'm like, it never gets old. Right? You get the little air fresheners trying to get that smell, the new car smell, right? And I look at this and I go, man, what an incredible thing. But when was the last time, and this is what Paul is trying to get you to see, God's creation reveals not just how powerful he is, but his pleasure in you as well. It isn't just how magnificent God is, but it's important to take a look at that. Did you know the galaxy we live in, it would take you 100,000 years traveling at the speed of light, which we can't, to travel from one end to the other. 100,000 years at the speed of light to just get across the galaxy we live in. To give you an idea, if our sun at the center of our solar system was shrunk all the way down the size of a white blood cell. You can't see it with the naked eye. So you take honey, I shrunk the galaxy, right? You shrink this thing down. And if our sun became the size of a white blood cell, that means our galaxy would be the size of the United States, about half the size, the total size of the continental U.S. If our sun was the size of an unseeable white blood cell, do you see what I'm saying? The size, the magnitude. God says he just spoke those things. Stars, he's like, boom, there it is. That's God. His power is incredible. We get, okay, you know how you get anxious if you're late for work? God created this thing we can't get our mind around. We create words to describe the size of God's creation. That blows me away. But turn back to Matthew 5. It's amazing to me, and it's right for us to spend time and get amazed again. It's crucial. Have you ever done that with your spouse? Sometimes, you know, you ever get a little bit grumpy? You know, you're like, oh, no, bro, no, no. Of course not, not me. Well, we'll ask your wife, right? And then we'll see what the answer becomes, right? That's why someone asked me, bro, how are you and your wife doing? I'm like, ask her, man. That's the real test. But we start getting grumpy, and it's amazing. Do you realize that you can't be angry and grumpy and grateful at the same time? And sometimes what we need to do is take a step back and actually get sobered about, man, what do we have? It's important. To me, this is interesting. I'm kind of a nerd. I don't know if anybody else is like that. This is cool when you start studying God, and he'll blow your mind. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34. It says, but I tell you, this is Jesus speaking here, but I tell you, do not swear at all. Amen. That's just good advice. Don't swear, right? But there's more. Either by heaven, for it is God's throne, verse 35, or by earth, for it is footstool. When you look around this world, this is where God puts his dirty boots, like when he comes home from work. This isn't the full show. This doesn't even compare to the full show. But it's a pretty cool thing, though, isn't it? I loved astronomy as a kid, looking through telescopes and seeing the planets. But I think about this in God's power, his footstool. Does anybody remember in 2004 when the tsunami hit outside of Sumatra, just off the coast? Anybody remember that? It was just over a 9.0. It was one of the most epically powerful things that the earth had experienced. It caused waves over 30 feet tall. It was the tsunami. What happened is over a 9.0 earthquake hit in the middle of the ocean, kind of the ocean floor. It caused waves 30 feet tall to be felt around the other side of the globe. Powerful. It hit with the power of 23,000 times the power of the bomb that was the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima in World War II. 23,000 times the power. The impact was literally felt on the other side of the earth. It knocked the earth off its axis by 2.5 centimeters. Our God sneezes for 8 minutes and our whole world shakes. I mean, that's our God. Do you know what I'm saying? He put his foot down a little too hard. Sorry. You know, this is God's footstool. I mean, but you go and you look, oh, we were watching the sun come up out, and you see the colors, the brilliance of God's painting as the sun comes up, and you go, this is the footstool? It's amazing. It's mind-blowing. And it does reveal his power. But if you notice in Romans 1, it says his invisible qualities, his divine nature, yeah, his power, but also his pleasure and his connection to you. Think about this. Why do flowers smell good? Why do girls smell good? Right? The guys, we're working on it, but women just smell nice. Right? When you hug somebody, you're like, you smell great. I mean, I think that's awesome. My wife always smells amazing. She'll pick a new perfume. It's great. But cookies, why does it smell like that? Do you know what I mean? It's like intoxicating. Why do cookies smell like that? Why is the sunset and sunrise magnificent? Why does music take your breath away? We've done research now to find that Alzheimer's patients and those with dementia, they will reconnect synapses in their brain by hearing music. You can reignite memories from disconnected parts of the brain. This is magnificent. Why does this world, this earth, why is it enjoyable? It doesn't have to be. Lions see in black and white. Why? Because it's efficient. They can hunt. It's more efficient. Why do we see in color? Why do we emotionally connect this way? Why does beauty matter to us? Why is that music and that inspiration matter? Why do we sing? Why does God command song? Why is it? And it moves you. Have you ever sat there singing a song and be brought to tears? That's how you're wired. That's God's creation. And it doesn't have to be like that. Food could be just bland. It could be like protein cakes. You're like, like Wheat Bix with no sugar. You're like, you can live off that, but not, you know, you're not necessarily enjoying the process. Do you see what I'm saying? But you have like an amazing steak. I love meat. I love meat. Banting, very easy for us. That's what we do as a family. Oh, it's great. It's like, what kind of meat do you want? Why does it taste different? Seriously, have you ever thought about this? You have grilled chicken, you're like, this is fantastic. Why? Because God isn't just trying to show you his power. He's trying to get you to see this life has been made for you to enjoy so that you remember who made it. Does that make sense? This world is an appetizer. It's the starter course. It's trying to get you to look ahead. And what a shame that we sometimes get so caught up on how delicious this world is, we miss the real thing to come. Isn't that, man, what a shame that we can miss that, because sometimes it is difficult to think, does it get better than this? Does it get better than this? I'm a coffee guy. Does anybody like coffee? Okay. And I dare ask this, anybody like wine? In Cape Town, I know none of you are really like wine. You guys don't grow, not really a part of the culture in any way. You should try it. It's okay. Yeah. I love coffee, but it's amazing how we discover these things. Really excellent Arabica coffee is grown in a band about 1,000 to 3,000 meters above sea level. There's like a band, 2,000-ish. It's about 3,000 to 6,000 maximum feet above sea level. And there's a band of elevation. It grows perfectly. It needs the right climate. It needs to be produced right. It needs to be grown, cultivated, dried, processed, shipped, then ground, brewed properly after it's been roasted perfectly. And it was, and God threw that into the eastern side of Ethiopia, and he was like, where do they find this? This is going to be awesome. Like, it took us, I mean, I just think about it. How many things are we trying to create? And I go, do you think about, man, when you propose, you get like a diamond on the ring. Do you know it rains diamonds on Jupiter? It's just raining on Saturn. There's diamonds raining. God's like, well, if you want to put that on a ring, yeah, great, okay. I just think, gosh, guys, do you see what God has made? He's trying to show off. He's trying to get your attention. Does he have it? Does he? Seriously. Has he gotten boring to you? Have you lost sight that this isn't just about coming to church? We don't just fall into the religious routine. That's God's trying to show off for you. Don't you remember? Some of the guys, when you try to court, you know, like a sister, come in a super nice shirt, you know, you start ironing things up. You're like, hey. You know, and you're hoping she sees the new shirt. She's like, oh, you look different. You're like, oh, man, that's not the compliment you want. You want to impress. You kind of strut around a little bit. I mean, we're trying to show off. We're trying. And if you have a nice, you know, encouragement date and you cook your best food and she's like, oh, that's, do you have more salt? I mean, when they're unimpressed, it just doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? That feeling where you're like, oh, that didn't go as well as I'd hoped. Is that us today with God? Do you sip the wine and go, what a great winemaker? Or do you go, oh my goodness, this is what God made. God did this. We're building with his raw materials, but it's all God. Does that make sense? And I think my hope and my goal is, as we talk about this, is that this is to get you thinking. John chapter 14. I have to confess, I forgot my phone on the plane. And they told me, I'm sorry, sir, no phone was found on the plane. So I don't have my timer, so I apologize if we go a couple of minutes over here. But in John chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And so I read that to go, amen. We don't need a phone, right? We're going to heaven, amen. No. Trust in God. Trust also in Android, for it will take care of you. Apple will deceive you. No, I'm sorry. It's a different version. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. Trust in God. Trust also in me, in my Father's house are just enough rooms for your friends to go, but not you. How do you read this? There are many rooms, but none of them will fit you because you're not quite good enough. No, there really aren't that many rooms. It's really exclusive. It's not for me. It's not for people who grew up like me or where I'm from. I can't do this. No. God's going, there are many rooms in God's house. Why? So that all of us can go. All of us. There is room for everyone in his house. And he promised he's coming back to take us with him. What an incredible promise. But what I want to ask you today is, when was the last time you took some time to just be amazed by God again? And I want to challenge you this week. When you're sipping that amazing glass of wine, for me, an amazing cup of coffee, don't remember the winemaker. Remember the God who made it. And that this is a glimpse, this is just a starter to try to impress you, to get you to see what is on its way in the heart of the God that made it all, for you to find it and enjoy it. The God's trying to get you. The music, some of us are music, but any of us really into music? Man, isn't it amazing how music can move you? And I just think you listen to a song. For me, it's Moonlight Sonata. There's a song, I can listen to that over and over, and I go, it's mind-blowing. And I go, man, Beethoven's so awesome. And I go, how about the God who made my brain and the ears that can hear it? Take time this week. Be amazed by God again. And reignite that passion of where we're going. The second point is the main course. Turn with me over to Revelation 21. It's an encouraging thing, isn't it? Some of us go, oh, that means I can't enjoy wine no more. No. My hope is that you will enjoy it more. And see what it's really about. And I kind of got bit by the wine bug, and I actually found some awesome Bible study. And God goes, it's amazing, at the Last Supper, and he goes, actually, I won't drink this again until we drink it anew in the coming of the kingdom. I'm like, there's wine in heaven. Yes. I just think, man, what vintage are we drinking, baby? I'm like, this is great. It's exciting. It is a banquet. I love our God. What an incredible thing. Anyway, sorry. This is the stuff that gets me up, and I hope this encourages you. I'm very encouraged by this Bible study. Revelation 21. We're going to pick it up here in verse 1. Are we all together? Are we doing well? Okay, I hope this encourages you. Verse 1. Revelation 21, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And you go, oh, no surfing. I'll get back to this in a moment. And no fishing. No. It'll be on the table. Don't worry. We'll have it. We'll get back to this. Verse 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. Don't you wish God would, like, physically join you for a quiet time sometimes? You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm, like, having coffee. I'm like, they're like, oh, God is with you. I go, yeah. But, like, I want him to sit down. I got questions. Or sometimes you get beef. You kind of get attitudes. You're like, I want to talk right now. You know, that actually would be very comforting. And in heaven, that's exactly how it will be. No more veil. No more spirit inside you. It'll be God surrounding and with us. What an incredible vision. And I heard a loud, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will be with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for his words are trustworthy and true. It's one of my favorite scriptures in verse 5. I am making everything new. Do you realize that the current earth and the current heaven that's being made, God's like, it's not good enough for my kids. I'm making a new one. I've kind of hidden it off. I've built like a guest home, and I'll be back. I'll bring you there when we're ready. I heard this last week, anybody like Star Wars at all? Anybody kind of into the new stuff? Okay, it's true, yeah. The campus and the teens are like, yeah, kind of into it, yeah. I love it. I feel like I get giddy. We went to Disney World for our honeymoon 5 years ago. I'm like a big kid, man. I love that stuff. But we found out that they've had secret talks. They just started to announce that they're making an entire park from nothing but Star Wars now that Disney has bought it. I'm like, oh yeah. Robe, lightsaber, I'm going. It's going to be awesome. But the whole thing about creating Disney World is that it was an entire secret. Walt Disney had actually created several different companies that had bought up land so that no one kind of got wind of what was happening because it was such a huge project. He didn't want anybody to spoil it or get involved with it in any way. God's like, since the beginning, he's been making a heaven that doesn't even, the current heaven that is his throne room isn't good enough for his kids. No wonder he goes, no eye has seen. Why? Because not even the angels have seen it yet. No ear has even heard about this, about what God is making for his children. Does that encourage you? It encourages me. Because then you ever have days where you feel like you fall, man, and you feel like, man, this is hard. My health, the health struggles. I've lost someone I love, or I've lost some, man, a family member, or Jeff. I just can't, man, I feel like I feel stuck. I can't repent. Is it worth it? I want to quit. This is getting hard. Is being a disciple worth it? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I have. Is it really worth it? This is hard. Is it really going to be better on the other side? Some of us experienced catastrophic things where abandonment, like I did, mom leaving. Drugs, alcohol, abuse, rape, all of the worst the world has to offer. And sometimes facing that, forgiving, repenting again and again. God, I've done this for decades. And God goes, don't forget what's coming. Don't forget that. Don't think that this is as good as it gets. And the truth of it is, if you're right with God, things change radically. Because if you are not a Christian, this world is as close to heaven as you will ever see. But if you're a disciple of Jesus, this world's as close to hell as you'll ever see. So wild to me how encouraging I go, this is as hard as it will ever be as a disciple of Jesus. I will spend moments, the mist of my life, struggling on occasion, rejoicing in others, and when I see his face, it will be forever with him. What an amazing thing. But I think about how God has really helped us and encouraged us. And I look ahead to these scriptures, but doesn't it help you to get a little glimpse of heaven? I tried biltong the first time 2 years ago. I was like, this is going to be on the banquet table. This is awesome. This is great. Right? I mean, those moments, the food, I think grandmas have a special gift. Grandmas are angels. They have the ability to cook food that I'm like, this is on the table. My grandmother would make this thing called date pudding. It's a dessert and has nuts and dates, and she'd always make it for holidays. And in my head, I'm like, that's on the table in heaven. My mom would make a pineapple upside down cake, and then my wife was like, I'm going to make it better. And she did. I'm like, that's going on the banquet table. And these momentary encouragements are to help us to get our eyes up to see what's coming. I want to encourage you this week to read Revelation 21 and 22. Knowing that Paul was right, 1 Corinthians 8, when he says, look, this is poetic language to try to get you to see how awesome it's going to be. Some of us look at the no sea point and we go, man, that stinks, man. There's no sea. No, you got to understand one of the most fear-inducing things for any Jew in the first century would have been the open ocean. It seemed vast, no bottom found. It would have been the source of an enormous amount of fear. And God goes, everything that brings anxiety and fear is gone there. All fear is gone. And it's cool to surf on the ocean, but why don't you go surf the Milky Way? Go get on the back of a comet. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to do. What an incredible thing that God has encouraged us. But as we come in for a closing here, the reason why I wanted to share this with you today is because I've been thinking a lot about Jency and Archer Tolliver, who many of us know, who passed away several years ago. And this is one of the last lessons I preached when Archer was alive. And he passed on. He and his wife, Faithful. And I see the legacy in their faith in Mike and Amber Gide and their sons and their families. And Mike's oldest son, Matt, in my wedding, I was in his, helping Josh become a Christian about a year ago now. And it's fantastic to watch them. But I think about how many of our heroes have passed on and gone ahead of us and are now in paradise waiting. And many of us, we're kind of, it's like, I love going to roller coasters. I didn't always feel this way. My wife helped me. She converted me. I was kind of a chicken growing up. But we went on our honeymoon, and I went on the Hulk. And I was converted. And I was like, man, this is a blast. And I think there's some fear there growing up. And honestly, sometimes as we get to the front of the line, as we age and our bodies begin to break down, our hearing goes, our knees are going, the back hurts, and we're getting to the front of the line, and one day Jesus is going to call our number, and we get to get on the ride of our lives. And there is a little bit of fear, and that's normal. But to get our eyes up and to remember, and I can't help but to think, if Jency and Archer were able to come back and share, what would they tell us today? I think they'd tell us, one, don't you dare quit. Don't you dare quit. You have just begun to taste what's to come. You have no idea. But I also think they would encourage and inspire us. We have to be a light. We have to be a light. And I can't help but to come to church sometimes and look around at the empty chairs and go, I don't want any empty rooms in heaven. I've got to tell people about what's coming, what God has promised us, what's awaiting me, what's a guarantee, it's in the bank. Man, I get to look ahead to this incredible thing. And this morning, this week, and the next week to come, I want to encourage you, go back to what it takes. Maybe for you, it's an awesome cup of coffee and a sunrise. Maybe it's a great glass of wine and a sunset. I hope it's not a glass of wine and a sunrise. That seems to be the wrong way. Maybe it's a great symphony or your favorite food. But go get amazed by God again. And just to see that the God that made all this is trying to not just help you to see how powerful he is, but how much he loves you. Let's look ahead to heaven and never, ever be tempted to quit and to take as many as we can with us. Amen? Amen. Thank you for having me today.